This is an emergency SOS call from the Netherlands. All hope is lost. Please save us. I'm calling on the international community to do something about the extreme disease that is in charge of the Netherlands. Just tonight, our parliament discussed a new law that will allow two men to donate DNA material to create a joint embryo out of two men, meaning a child born of two men, and will also allow a single person to mate with themselves to produce a self-fertilized egg and then create a child with only one biological parent. This comes after the Netherlands legalized gay marriage, after we had the first gay prime minister, after we invented the Dutch protocol, which is an unscientific, unproven way of castrating a man and then giving him a fake vagina with tissue from out of his ass. I'm not kidding about that. We're allowing euthanasia of children from ages 12 and up, and 16 and 17-year-olds can have themselves euthanized without their parental consent. We are also allowing, under the Groningen protocol, the euthanasia of children up to 1 year old. So if you don't like your child, you can get rid of it after it's been born. Of course, we have abortion up to birth, right? We have, the world's first pedophile party taking part in our elections. My God, I can't do this anymore. I wasn't born to grow up in this Sodom and Gomorrah of the world. I am of the opinion that this country needs to be vaporized. And I hereby call upon President Donald Trump, on President Putin of Russia and the Ayatollah of Iran to point your nuclear rockets at this country and blast it to shits. Away with this. This cannot heal without first bombing it to the ground.
Hey, Nacha. Hello, soul. Hey, Nacha. So yeah, folks, what do you even say to an intro like that, to information like that? We're going to take the DNA from someone and we're going to create a egg out of it, and we're going to create a sperm out of it, and we're going to bind it together again, and we're going to create a child that we can grow in a little chamber somewhere that has one biological parent. I mean, can you say cloning without saying cloning? Make it feel more acceptable? We've truly lost our way, folks. I mean, this sort of stuff, it just makes you wonder if whoever is shutting down the supply chain and killing most of mankind aren't perhaps doing the right thing. Because we've totally lost our way. But unfortunately, it's the same people that are shutting down the supply chain. Maybe they're showing us how the Cabbage Patch kids were grown. It's crazy. It's just nuts. They're going to replace most of the people with robots anyway. Elon Musk was saying he thinks there's going to be more robots than people.
We'll actually make so many robots and AI that they will actually saturate all human needs. Meaning you won't be able to even think of something to ask the robot for at a certain point. There will be such an abundance of goods and services. Because my prediction is there'll be more robots than people. So,
but how do you then have human purpose in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was nothing's perfect, you know.
And of course, saying there's going to be more robots than people, that doesn't mean there's going to be 9 billion robots or 10 billion robots, because there isn't 8 billion people on Earth. There's about probably 3, and that's probably soon to become 500 million. Because everything's still going ahead. I mean, they're just, all of this stuff, peace talks and like, fuck off. We know what the agenda is, okay? The agenda is to shut down the supply chain, and they've already done it. Doesn't matter about peace talks and posturing and this and that. And now Trump's saying, well, you know, you've got to accept the deal. If you don't, then I'm just going to blow up your entire country.
If Iran does not sign this deal, the whole country is getting blown up. He went on to say that bridges and power plants will be targeted if Iran does not sign this agreement. The president telling me that U.S. Special Envoys Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff are heading to Islamabad, Pakistan for meetings on Tuesday, possibly into Wednesday, to try and get this agreement across the finish line. The president telling Fox News this is a very simple deal, but this is the last chance for the Iranians. The president very clear in our conversation that he is not making the same mistake that President Obama made, giving cash to the Iranians and allowing them to continue a nuclear program. The deal on the table is to reopen the Strait of Hormuz to ensure that the Iranians do not have this highly enriched uranium that is buried deep underground after Operation Midnight Hammer last summer. And again, the president telling Fox News that the entire country will be blown up. Bridges and power plants will be targeted if the Iranians do not sign this agreement.
Which is a wonderful thing to say if you're trying to free the people, because that's what this was originally about, remember? Like, it's gone through so many things. Oh, you know, they killed 30 or 40,000 people, so we need to go in and bomb the shit out of the entire country to save the people. And then it was, no, no, we're going in there to prevent them from getting a nuclear weapon, even though we apparently did that in the 12-day war back in 2025 last year and said that we'd totally destroyed their nuclear facilities and everything and that everything was good. That became the reason. Then it became about opening the Straits of Hormuz, which were fully open before they went in there. And now it's still about not letting them have a nuclear weapon. But Trump's claiming, like, we've destroyed everything. We've destroyed blah, blah, blah. It's because you've got enriched uranium. And there's just so much bullshit in this whole thing. There's so much bullshit in this, folks. Some of the reports that I'm getting from people are saying, well, no, the only thing that's really been bombed in the Middle East are oil producing facilities. I'm getting reports coming from Israel and from Bahrain, and they're saying nothing going on here. Tourist trade has stopped. Oil facilities have blown up, but not all of them, not as many as we've been told. US bases have been destroyed. An interesting thing with the US bases that have been destroyed is that Iran has got its normal weather back. Now all the US bases are gone. Iran actually did a study back in 2023 on how to overcome the phenomena of HAARP-based cloud stealing that is happening over their country. They've been in drought for so long. And now the weather's gone back to normal once all the US bases have been taken out. So it shows just how much control these people have been exerting over this country. And that's all really interesting. But the thing is, with this war is about depopulation. It's about breaking down the supply chain. All of these peace talks and shit, we know they're not going to happen. Israel's not going to let any of it happen. Israel wants to destroy the world. Israel has been waging a war against all of mankind ever since it was founded. The Jews have been waging a war against mankind, or Zionists have, ever since the whole movement was founded. The greater Israel is what we see on that map, but it's actually the entire world. They want to control everything, and they already pretty much do. And they're just going about their business, exterminating everybody that they can in the most brutal ways possible. Bringing to mind right now is the execution that is set to happen for the Palestinian prisoners they've got. 10,000 Palestinian prisoners, folks. And it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter whether you're guilty of any crime. It's just if you're picked up off the street and we arrest you for any reason at all, and Israeli soldiers just arrest anybody for any reason. They just see someone and they just arrest them because they're Palestinian. And once you're arrested, doesn't matter about your age, doesn't matter whether you're innocent, doesn't matter about anything. There's no trial, there's nothing. You stay there for 90 days, then you get executed. That's it. But we're not apartheid. So many prisoners die in jail in Palestine. So many. Generally, they're raped to death. The soldiers rape them, then they bring dogs in to rape them, and then they rape them with metal bars. Just turn their inside organs to mush and leave them to die. So many of them. Some of the things I've seen, some of the information that's come across my desk in researching all this stuff, like Israelis driving over the bodies of Palestinians just and laughing about it. Just hideous stuff. And this is the type of totalitarianism and the type of complete disregard for human life that they're bringing to all of our countries by doing what they do. There's new laws that have come in Australia, like for anti-hate speech. They've given ASIO new laws. They can pretty much, well, they can. It isn't pretty much. They can. ASIO police, Australian police, federal police, under new ASIO laws, can just take anybody off the street. They can take them off for questioning. They don't have to be guilty of any crime. They don't even have to be suspected of any crime. They can take them off. They can hold them indefinitely. They can question them. They can do whatever they want. Hold them for as long as they want. Charge them with whatever they want. And when they release them, they're not allowed to even tell anybody that they were kidnapped and taken and questioned or anything. If they do tell anybody about the experience, they can get 5 years in jail. What's totalitarianism, if not that? And that's in Australia. What the fuck does the Australian government and ASIO need laws like that for? Or you just take anybody off the street, anybody, and do whatever you want to them, and if they tell anybody about it, they're guilty. What the fuck is that? It's disgusting. It's disgraceful. But yeah, that's what they brought in Australia, and it's the sort of thing they want to bring in everywhere, and their methods are, well, we've just seen what their methods are in Palestine and continuing on into Lebanon and continuing on into Palestine. And the situation they're in now, like, they've just been forgotten through this whole Iranian conflict, and it's been left there. It's coming on to summer now. They're tent cities. They're living in shredded tents. The weather's getting warmer. The insects are coming out. There's rats everywhere. There's no food. It's just, it's disgraceful. The complete disregard that the people who control this world have for human life. And, you know, essentially those who control the state of Israel and those who control the United States. The complete disregard for life that Donald Trump has shown through this entire conflict, threatening to blow up your entire country. This just sounds like a freaking schoolboy. It's like a 14-year-old. It's unbelievable. So immature. You know, do what I say or I'm going to blow your whole country up. Who fucking says that shit? This is like grade school stuff. This is like 10 or 12-year-old, 14-year-old at the most. It's ridiculous. This isn't the type of mentality of the President of the United States. Well, it shouldn't be anyway. But again, you know, it's all theatre because this whole thing is contrived. They don't want Iran to surrender. They want the war. They want the death. They want the straits closed down. But again, it's interesting that all the damage seems to be going to energy facilities and to the trade system. And I'm not seeing a lot of damage coming out of Israel. I mean, I've seen some pictures, I've seen some videos, but how the fuck do you know what's real anymore? It's crazy. I'm still banned from X too, by the way, folks. 30-day ban from X. So why they want you all connected to X, you know, because they want everybody on X. They want you to think Elon Musk is the savior of mankind and that we all need to connect to his platform. There was actually this reporter or someone interviewing him asked him why he thinks we should all be on X, and it was like he glitched out trying to answer the question. Check this out.
Watch Elon Musk completely glitch for a minute and a half when he was asked the very basic simple question, why do we need X? Why is it important that we're connected on your platform?
And why is that important, Elon? Collective consciousness, to have one platform?
Why is that important?
I guess it's, you could also say like why, you know, if you consider humans, like humans are composed of around 30 to 40 trillion cells. And, you know, there's trillions of synapses in your mind. But there's no, the why bit, I mean, I guess it's just so we can increase our understanding, our understanding of the universe. So I guess I had this sort of question about what's the meaning of life, you know, like why is anything important?
Yeah, I don't know why people consider this guy to be a genius. He just has an idea and he says, hey, here's this idea I want for something extraordinary. And then he hires geniuses to do it for him. He doesn't actually do anything himself. He just sits there and thinks about stuff and says, well, I've got enough money to do whatever I want. What do I want to do? Well, let's start making rockets or, you know, whatever. But he doesn't design them. He doesn't design the Tesla cars. He doesn't do any of this sort of shit. He gets other people to do that for him. He just takes the credit. He's just a figurehead. But we're heading for such a crazy system. And that's another thing that's going to happen through this as well, like with the breakdown of the supply chain. You're going to have far less people around. You're going to have a lot of civil unrest. People aren't going to get food. They're not going to be able to travel. And they've destroyed so much of the oil industry that people are going to have electric vehicles probably to get by. And then, of course, these vehicles can be geo-fenced, geo-tracked, and everything's going to be dependent on social credit points and carbon credit points and how good your behavior's been throughout the whole process. And it'll be digital cash and digital this and digital that. And it'll be far less people to push back against it because they will have killed them all in what looked like an organically formed war that was either Iran's fault or Donald Trump's fault or Israel pushed it into Donald Trump that he should do this or whatever. We can point the finger and we can point the blame. It's a mechanism. Israel's a mechanism that was created specifically for this to happen. Trump is stupid enough to have gone along with it. You know, when they think of the Goyim Messiah, I think, you know, these are just people that they know they completely fucking own, that they can get to do whatever they want. And once they got Trump back into the White House, they got him to do everything they wanted him to do. He's too much of a malignant narcissist and too egotistical to probably even realize that, you know, it wasn't really his idea. He was doing what his advisors told him to do, and he's still the best man on earth and the greatest at everything. He always says he's just the greatest at everything.
Good afternoon, folks. This is a vlog. I think that's what the kids call it. Your favorite president is hiking, very rugged, basically a cowboy right now. Something's out there. I heard it. Could be a deer, could be a bear, could be a Democrat. All three are dangerous. Only one of them I can't tariff. We're picking up the pace, not because I'm scared. I don't get scared. I get strategic, and strategically, I'm moving very fast right now. That's a bear, a baby Yogi bear, looking right at me. Very disrespectful eye contact. Doesn't know who I am. I'm going to negotiate. That's what I do. I'm pointing left, giving him an exit, a graceful exit. Very diplomatic. Better deal than I gave Iran. He took the deal. Smart bear. Very high IQ for an animal. Your favorite president just negotiated with a bear in the woods, alone. Nobody's ever done that.
I think Trump was just led into this position, and I think he's going to get hung out to dry. Whether they create greater Israel in that area or whether they just depopulate the entire world and break down all the supplies and move to Ukraine is just another question. Whether Iran's in on this. I'd love to be able to get some real footage. I'd love to have people in Israel or people in Iran sending me video footage that they've taken themselves of what's going on. I mean, I know they've destroyed Gaza because I've got friends in Gaza. But my contacts in Israel and my contacts in Iran are secondhand contacts, you know. But that's about the best I've got on inside information on any of this. And again, you know, all of these talks about ceasefires and all this sort of crap, it's all just wasting time, avoiding the inevitable. You're not going to open the Straits of Hormuz by bombing the entire country and turning it back to the Stone Age. That's just an excuse to destroy what's left of some of the most beautiful architecture on Earth from the old world, from a civilization that's been there for around about 5,000 to 7,000 years. And it's about shutting the supply chain. And they've got the perfect way to do that with Iran having this mosaic defense system, because even if you do bomb the entire country back to the Stone Age, the missile silos are going to still be firing. They've got enough ammunition, they've got enough drones, they've got underground cities. They're going to keep firing. And there's been many reports, even in the mainstream media, saying that whoever's in control of Iran has lost control of the military. And that's because they never had control of the military. The military was switched on. The military defense system was switched on as soon as they bombed the Ayatollah, as soon as they bombed the presidential palace. They probably knew this would happen, which is why they did it. So there's no way to really turn this war off. And of course, Iran has said, if you do come in and attempt to bomb all of our stuff, well, we're going to take out every single power source and every city in the Persian Gulf. Every single base, anything that is connected to the United States, we're going to destroy, to the United States or Israel. So, you know, we know Israel wants to take over all of this area anyway. So why wouldn't they want to do it this way? What a great excuse to be able to destroy Bahrain, destroy any opposition to the state of Israel, and then just have this war suddenly switched off and Israel come as the saviors to save the day, set themselves up in greater Israel, and also get to control Ukraine for the Belt and Road Initiative, and also large sections of Argentina for the same initiative, and also Baja here in Mexico for the same reason. You know, I've been speculating on so many things through this war. Is it going to go this way? Is it going to go that way? Is Greater Israel even going to be created? Or is Israel simply going to be wiped off the map and they're going to have to move to Ukraine? But now that it's gone on for this long, it's like 6 weeks now this has been going on. And like I was saying on the last couple of shows, why is Israel still there? Why is Tel Aviv still there? It can't just be because you don't want to kill civilians, because Iranians are like that. Religiously, they don't want to kill civilians because it's against their faith to do that. And sure, there must be Israeli bases in other places like Cyprus and Kuwait and, you know, all Israel's allies, Saudi Arabia, all their allies through the Gulf region. But Iran's been firing missiles for 6 weeks. Why hasn't it hit all these bases? It can hit bases in Cyprus. I think it hit the US base in Cyprus. I think, I might be wrong, because the US have got a base there as well. That's what I was saying. I mean, is it really Israel that's bombing Lebanon? Is it really Israel that's doing all this? Or is it coming from ships or submarines or, you know, US base? I mean, and how much of it is even freaking real? Because the only thing that's going to come out of this is a loss of life for billions and billions of people. Mad Max world. The situation in Australia is so dire. Like the fuel, they got not a lot of fuel left and none really coming in. But the most important thing is something I've been saying over the last few years is to have lots of non-perishable food stored. I started storing food back in 2020. Unfortunately, I had to leave Australia in 2021, but I had about maybe 2 years worth of food for me if I go sparingly, and I don't have to eat a lot, so that's okay. But I had that much food stashed in the pantry at home in Australia ready for something like this. And you could still be doing that, buying cans of food. Don't buy stuff that you've got to freeze because you don't know whether you're going to have electricity. But there is ways to create electricity as well. Magnets, you can create electricity just with magnets and pulleys, and there's lots of ways to do this, folks. So start downloading free energy videos. Just look on TikTok and stuff like that. TikTok and Instagram and even YouTube. Cheap free energy devices. I mean, you're not looking for something that's going to power a whole city. You just want to be able to power a stove or power a refrigerator or power something to be able to charge a cell phone or something so that you've got communication or just something. I mean, you might find it useful to know how to be able to set up a little machine in your backyard to be able to generate electricity. And as I said before, have somewhere to retreat to if you need to. And I'm not saying run and hide. But just have somewhere, if things get crazy and it becomes like every man for himself, I mean, just think about it. Think about some of the things that have happened. Think about the potato famine in Ireland. Think about Holodomor. And if you don't know about Holodomor, I suggest you go and look it up. You'll probably find videos on YouTube or BitChute or Rumble talking about Holodomor. It was a horrific period in history, but it wasn't that long ago. And we know this is the preferred method that they use for mass depopulation, is starvation. Simply cut off all the resources and leave the people to their own devices. In that situation, I mean, if you look like you've got money, if you look like you're rich, if you look like you're surviving pretty well, then you're a target, because people who are out there who aren't surviving very well and are getting desperate and have been pretty lazy most of their lives and been looked after most of their lives will come looking for you. And they will want to take what you have. Now, in Holodomor and other places, in some of the gulags, some of the stories that were told to us by Alexander Solzhenitsyn of some of the things that happened in the prison camps in the Russian camps during Bolshevism, we're talking cannibalism and really, really horrific things happen to people when they get desperate. You know, and I don't want to be morbid or I don't want to be defeatist or anything like that, but in that situation where anybody and anything of value becomes a target for those who have nothing, then you need somewhere to retreat to. It's just a smart thing to do. It's a wise thing to do. People in Australia, I mean, it literally could turn into gasoline wars like we saw in Mad Max. It literally could turn into Mad Max in Australia. Australia's isolated. You can't leave that place. And all you've got is those little strips of green around the southern coast and the east coast, a little bit on the lower west coast, a little bit on the west coast, but far less than the east coast. And on the east coast, it's such a thin sliver of green that we've got, really, compared to the rest of the country. But if you know what you're doing, it is sustainable. There's a really good book you can get called Bush Tucker Food. You'll probably find it online. You'll probably be able to get a PDF of it. I recommend everybody in Australia, if you're listening to this, get that book. I can't remember who the author is, but Bush Tucker Food. There is so much stuff in the Australian forest and jungle that you can live on if you know what you're looking for. Get yourself a bow and arrow. Learn how to make a trap. Learn how to build a lean-to in the forest. Learn, you know, which direction the wind comes from, whereabouts on the hill you should do it. You can make a lean-to pretty simply, just with some vines and some palm leaves and some branches and stuff. You can make a shelter really easily if you need one. Learn how to start a fire with two sticks, you know. Like I've said, find a cave, find places that you can go on. There's a place in Tullabudra Valley near Mount Coogal where I went to, myself and a friend went there probably, oh wow, probably 40 years ago. And we planted wild carrots and pumpkins and tomatoes and so many things we planted just in this kind of semi-cleared area in the jungle. This was like 30 or 40 years ago we did this. Easy 40 years ago. I would have been in my 20s when we did this. God knows if any of it's still there. But we did it. We planted pineapples. We planted vegetables. We put in a couple of apple trees. We put in some peach trees, some mango trees, because we thought there's going to come a time in the future when this whole society is going to collapse. And when that happens, we know we can come here and there will be food growing wild. It's a good fertile part of the valley, like a hidden, little hidden valley. Very fertile area. And who knows? I wonder if it's still there. But hey, I'm not in Australia now. But that's the sort of stuff that I was thinking when I was in my 20s. Crazy, huh? And here we are. But these are things you need to do. Like, I'd get a bow and arrow, get a hunting knife, just get a good grab bag, you know, tomahawk, good knife, good pocket knife, backpack, some medicine, like antiseptics, bandages, stuff like that that you might need. Bow and arrow is good. Like I said, learn how to make a trap as well. Get some fishing tackle. Learn how to go and collect worms and collect bait to catch fish. You can catch plenty of freshwater crayfish in the creeks in Australia, in Queensland, around the border ranges. Plenty of freshwater crayfish in a lot of places in Australia. A lot of good fishing. But have somewhere to retreat to. Like, don't get trapped in what the government wants to present you, like electric cars and working from home and all this sort of shit. I mean, working from home, with these new ASIO powers, ASIO can just pick off anybody off the street. If they tell you, we want you to all work from home, and you refuse to comply with that, and you get in your car and think, well, I'm going to go take the family out for a picnic this weekend, they can just arrest your entire family for no reason whatsoever. You don't have to commit any crime. And they can just disappear you. Or they could take members of your family and not give them back. And if you tell anybody that they've done that, they can just say, no, no, we're keeping your daughter or your son or your father or your mother for questioning. And we'll be in touch. And then they just never do. And you're still waiting, saying, well, what's going on? Oh, we're still processing. You know, we'll be in touch. Don't call again, we'll call you. And then they're just gone. And if you tell anybody about it, 5 years in jail for you, which means they just disappear you. And what are they going to do in jail? We know what they do in Israeli jails. They've shown us what they do to people in these jails. On the last show, I showed you that kid, that young kid they put in solitary confinement for 4 fucking years. Who does that? Who rapes prisoners to death? Who is overjoyed at being able to execute 10,000 prisoners, irrespective of age or innocence? They don't have to have committed a crime. All they have to do is to have been arrested, if they're Palestinian. And then they drive them and drive them and drive them, leave them in these tent cities in Gaza. If anybody stands up and protests, they arrest you, take you to jail, rape you for 3 months, maybe rape you to death. And if they don't rape you to death, they probably harvest your organs, then they take you into a room and hang you. America's greatest ally. Look, anybody who supports the state of Israel after the last 2.5 years and after this whole scamdemic and after this whole fake war with Iran and all this shit they're doing, the mass genocide they're now doing in Lebanon, just reducing the place to rubble, no regard for life at all, targeting ambulances, targeting paramedics, health workers, hospitals, anybody who supports the state of Israel, like driving over Palestinian bodies, torturing children, keeping them in solitary, raping people to death. Fuck Israel. Any politician, anybody, any social media person who is supporting the state of Israel is an enemy of mankind. It's as simple as that. Because Israel is the most abominable evil that has ever existed on this earth. The people who run Israel, they should never have been given a place to live. The whole creation of the state of Israel, it's not Israel, it's occupied Palestine. And it's a disgrace. So if you want to save the world, folks, kick all the dual Israeli citizens out of your government. It's ridiculous, folks. We're heading into a Holodomor type situation where all rights are being removed from people in Australia. And this will soon come to everywhere else. And the whole world has just sat back for the last 2.5 years and watched what this state is capable of and what it's going to do. Watched what Donald Trump has done. Donald Trump apparently threatened the Pope the other day. Don't know whether it's real. There was a thing that came up on Truth Social. Someone did a Grok is this real thing on it, and apparently it said it's real. But hey, who knows? You can't really tell anymore. You know, you need to support the war. And like literally threatening to blackmail the Pope. I don't know. I mean, they're holding so much on Trump with all this Epstein shit. And even people are beginning to question other things now as well. There's that, was it Marjorie Taylor Greene? I'm not familiar with any of her stuff, but I saw a headline the other day that she is now questioning whether his assassination attempt was real or whether it was staged. I think she's pretty mainstream, although she apparently left the Trump train a while ago, so she's not quite so mainstream now. But yeah, it's good that someone like her is beginning to perhaps ask that question, because yeah, it's obviously staged. Ears don't grow back. It's just so ridiculously staged. And there's so much coming out about Trump. Apparently new stuff in the Epstein files is coming out about Trump as well, and blah, blah, blah. And this whole posturing that he's taking, like, you know, open the straits and accept the terms I offer or I'm going to blow everything up. This is, like I said before, a tantrum, like a 10-year-old tantrum, and it's an act of desperation because he knows he can't win this war. And here he is still saying, well, no, Israel didn't convince me to do it. I made the decision myself. No, you didn't, you fucking liar. But yeah, it's just a freaking puppet show at this stage, folks. And, you know, winning the war, it's not even about winning. It's not about nuclear energy or enriched uranium or any shit like that. It's about the petrodollar and the Chinese yuan, and it's about who controls the destruction of the global supply chain after the event. Because the supply chain has already been destroyed. That's the thing. That's why all that stuff I was saying before about just things you should do. Get ready. I mean, even now, if you've got kids, get all this stuff, like I said, get some fishing tackle, get some, you know, a hunting knife and a bow and arrow, and, you know, learn how to make a trap and how to trap maybe some crayfish in a stream and stuff like that, and learn these things. And maybe if you've got kids, go camping with them for the weekend. Get them used to the idea. Let's go camping and let's not take any technology with us, and let's learn how to do some outdoor stuff, because things are getting crazy, kids. And I don't want to scare you, but things are getting a little crazy. And the world's gone a little bit crazy. And if it ever happened that we just had to run off into the woods, wouldn't it be good to know what to do? So, you know, you remember those movies like Terminator, and how the woman in Terminator taught her son all these things. And you see some of these movies where the hero kid was taught these special skills by their parents. Let's go and do some of that stuff. Let me teach you some special skills. You can approach it like that with your kids. And you can take them out and say, this is how we do it. This is how you survive if something happens, you know? And go and explore places and find a place that you can go. Find a place where you might be able to survive, maybe where there's caves, definitely where there's water. Somewhere where there's flowing water, like the border ranges in Queensland are perfect. Anybody who lives in that area, even from like the Sunshine Coast, Mullaney, down to Coffs Harbour and beyond, but most especially down to Ballina, Kempsey, Port Macquarie. There's lots of areas in those mountains. The best part, of course, being from Sunshine Coast to Byron Bay, the caldera, the Tweed caldera. There is so much abundance in those ranges. And up north, around Cairns, Atherton Tablelands, you know, Innisfail north, from Innisfail to kind of north, that there's so much abundance in those mountains as well. So if you're someone who lives there, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to get through this okay if you're up on your bush skills. And I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it's good to be ready in case it does. I mean, by some miracle, there could be some huge shipment of fertilizer arrive in Australia. There could be some huge shipment of fuel arrive. Some ship that they weren't expecting or whatever. But the thing is, you have oil tankers arriving constantly in Australia and America and other places. It's just a constant supply of goods and a constant flow. Sure, there's backup for a couple of months, because it takes usually a couple of months for ships to get there. But that all stopped. That all stopped in early March. And now the supply is about to run out. And even if it starts up again, there's still going to be a couple of months where you're just going to be without stuff. And if Trump and these maniacs, Netanyahu, and I would suggest even the maniacs that are running the Iran military, continue what they're doing, then this isn't going to stop anytime soon. And like I said before, the interesting thing about it is that what's being targeted the most is energy infrastructure. And for all the anti-Trump stuff, I mean, I think that it would have been the same if Kamala had got an office. Whoever had got into office would have been hoodwinked into doing this, whether they believe it or not. I mean, if these people are not just bought and paid for puppets and actually enter politics thinking they can make a difference anyway, then they're idiots. So either they're part of the big, big club and they know what they're doing, or they're idiots who just do what they're told because they've got dirt on them all. And we know that's true anyway. So it would have happened anyway. It doesn't matter whether it was Kamala. See, I think when they pulled Trump aside and they had that big, long meeting in the Situation Room, and Netanyahu was there and they were talking by video or whatever, and a couple of people were there and blah, blah, blah. But most of the people weren't. It was a very small group of people. And then Trump came out and basically said, yeah, we're going to go and bomb Iran. I think that was that whole thing that, like, when Bill Hicks talks about how they took the politician aside and showed them a new angle of the Kennedy assassination.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what the promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist, capitalist scum fucks who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. It looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
Yeah, I think they probably did something like that, only using a different angle on some videos in the Epstein files. You know, and Trump came out and said, yeah, we're going to go and bomb Iran. And the other people as well. I mean, who knows how many people in his parliament and in his government are all involved in this. So, yeah. So, but anyway, folks, I think that's about all I got to say. It is so important that we deal with this. And if we're not going to deal with it, to be prepared for it. Because the level of evil, like I said, like who rapes prisoners to death? Just attacks people with machine guns and blows them up. Like Palestinians going to a building after an explosion and putting their family in plastic bags, the remains of their family in plastic bags to take them to the funeral. It's just a 9-year-old girl got sniped at the dinner table, shot in the head. She was having dinner with her family. Some Israeli sniper shot her at the head at the dinner table just to kill her and to also traumatize her family. Imagine sitting there having dinner and suddenly your 9-year-old head explodes. It's just the most evil state in the history of the world, folks. It truly is. The most evil state in the history of the world, and Trump's really fully supporting it because he does, and probably because he has no choice but to do so. I mean, they've got his daughter, for God's sake, you know. Maybe that was even some sort of guarantee. The fact that she's with Jared Kushner, he's so fucking smarmy. That's the only word I can think of to describe Jared Kushner is smarmy. He's such a dweeby little dude. He looks like the evil schoolboy. Looks like he lived his entire life on beta blockers. But anyway, yeah, so the deadline approaches. I'll bring you more news as it comes to hand. I think the 72-hour deadline, it's probably tomorrow night or something, probably about when I post this video. I don't think I'll get this uploaded today. Today is Monday. It will probably be Tuesday evening. I'll get this video uploaded, because I've got stuff to do. I'm actually traveling somewhere tomorrow, and I'll get most of this edited tonight, but I probably won't get a chance to upload it until tomorrow, although you never know. You never know. Maybe I will. And look, like I've said before, I don't want to be negative in any of this. I mean, I hope that we get through this. And I know we will. Many people will. But many people won't. And that's the problem, is than many people who won't. This is why I've said it's good to have a place to retreat to, somewhere where you know you can go and you can be safe there with your family. You know you can survive. And again, this isn't running and hiding. But if it gets to a point of Holodomor in Australia, crazy people, desperate people do crazy, desperate things. That's just the way it is. And like I said, if you look like you've got more than them, they will come and take it. I mean, it's like with everything that has happened through the construction of this system. I mean, the reason we've been led into this situation and been led into this control grid the way we have is because the mindless sheeple have led us there. And like I've said, it isn't a matter of you being awake. It's the fact that there's so many mindless sheeple out there who are dragging us all off a cliff, and they're dragging us with them. That's the thing. So if it gets to a situation where it's like Holodomor and you've got desperate people that are prepared to do desperate things, and again, I mean, in Holodomor and in the gulags, we saw cannibalism, we saw some of the most horrendous stuff because desperate people do desperate things. And you don't want to be in that situation. And like I said, I'm not saying that's going to happen. But there's a chance that it could happen because it's happened before. It happened through Bolshevism. It happened in Holodomor. It happened in the potato famine. It happened to so many cultures that we probably don't even know about. And there's a good chance that it could happen to our society now. So that's what I'm saying, is be prepared, folks. It's really important that people are prepared. Just have a place to retreat to, that's all I'm saying. And make sure you got the tools you're going to need to survive off the land. And like I said, if you can, take your family camping, or even you go camping. I mean, what are you doing next weekend? You're doing some outing with the local PTA, or going to some nightclub, or what are you doing? Why don't you go and talk with the people you know who are awake? Maybe you have other families who listen to these shows, or maybe you've got your network of friends. Why don't you get together and say, well, okay, what are we going to do? And don't take your cell phones to the meeting, folks. Leave them outside, or go somewhere where you don't have cell reception and just talk about things. Okay, who knows a place where we can go, where there's water, where we can create shelter? Like if you're on the Gold Coast, or you're in Brisbane, or you're in anywhere around that area, there's so many places in the mountains you can go to if you know the lived terrain. Even if you have to go to national park areas and then just explore out from there. There's places out the back of Bow Desert, like Darlington Park. There's a mountain range out there called the Lost World, Border Ranges. There's been sightings of pygmies out there in Lost World. There's been no confirmations. In other words, they've never actually caught one and killed it and brought it home. But there has been sightings of pygmies. It's some of the most dense jungle you'll find anywhere in Australia. Lost World, it's called. You can go out to Darlington Park from Bow Desert and look around those mountains through there. You can even go up to O'Reilly's Guest House up in the at the back of Canungra. There's a lot of bush trails up there. And those trails from that place in Canungra there, or O'Reilly's Guest House, not Canungra, but O'Reilly's Guest House, that leads, those trails lead right through Binnaburra, across to the other side. They lead right down to the edge of Lost World. And once you get to the edge, there's nothing to stop you. Keep going. It's very doubtful anyone would find you if you went into that forest, unless they have like a, you know, some type of thermal imaging or whatever that they could use. Perhaps you could even look into some sort of tents which block out thermal imaging, block out thermal signatures. I'm sure there's some sort of material you can get that would block out thermal imaging, so you can't be seen from the air on infrared or heat-seeking cameras. And, you know, it sounds crazy. It sounds all kind of end-of-the-world-ish and Terminator-ish, spy versus spy. But in many ways, it's kind of exciting, isn't it? I mean, if I was in Australia, that's what I'd be doing, because I know those ranges really well. I know O'Reilly's really well, Binnaburra, all through that whole area, Springbrook, right down around the border ranges, down through Mount Jerusalem. I know the whole caldera very, very well. Not so much when you get north of Brisbane, but I've got friends up there who know those areas well as well. And there's so much edible stuff in there. There's so much good stuff in there, but you've got to know what you're doing. So that's why I suggest maybe you go and brush up on some of these skills. I think it would be important. Just to know how to handle yourself in the case of a complete shutdown of everything. The last thing you want to do is be at home and be told when you can go out and what you can buy and where you can go and what you got to do, and to not know what's going on in the rest of the world. You can also get, I've got one somewhere, I don't know whether it's here or whether it's in Australia. I think it's here. I think it's actually in a box, but might possibly be still in Acapulco. But it's a little radio, and it's got AM, FM, and shortwave, and it's got a little solar panel on it, and it's got a torch on one end of it, and it's also got a handle so you can wind it up. It's got LED lights on one side, and it's got a radio that'll pick up just about everything, and it's got an antenna as well. And those sorts of things are handy. If there's a complete shutdown, it'd be like Terminator, John Connor. You know, if you're out there and you can hear this, you are the resistance. I mean, who knows where this could go? And I find it kind of scary, but invigorating at the same time. So that's what I've said on the last couple of reports. You know, I hope for the best, but definitely prepare for the worst, because I think you will be glad that you did. And again, if you're someone with a family, take the kids out, teach them some bush skills. Now's the time. Even if they do take their cell phones with them, well, take them somewhere where there's no cell reception. You know, if they complain about having to leave their cell phones behind, if they've got cell phones, then take them somewhere where there's no reception and they're just going to have to go, oh, well, you know. And like I said, make it exciting for them. Even like, you know, talk about films like Terminator and films where there's been situations where the kid has saved the day, and it's because the parent taught him things in one of these outdoor settings, you know. I'm sure you could find some films like that. You could even maybe sit down and watch one with your kid and not tell him what you're doing, not tell them what you're doing, but just sit down and watch a minute and say, wow, wasn't that great? We should do that. We should go out and learn some life skills and stuff, because who knows what's going to happen. There's this war in Iran and blah, blah, blah. Hey, let's say we all go camping and I teach you some of the life skills that my parents taught me. And if you don't really have any, well, you better get online and brush up with some. And maybe go and practice in the backyard while they're at school or whatever. But, you know, it's just, you could make it fun for them, make it exciting for them, and make it so that if the world does turn to shit, they're prepared for it. In a fun way and a realistic way at the same time. That's my advice to people who have sent me letters, and there's been numerous letters that I've got from people saying, well, what is the next thing we can do, Max? What's the best thing we can do? And yeah, I think that's the best thing you can do. Don't believe anything they tell you. It's always backwards, and they always soften the blow. So they did with the word magic. See, words mean so much. That's why you can't be defeatist about this as well. I see this as a new beginning. And to have a new beginning, well, of course, you need an end to the old thing, whatever it was. And I think we're about to see the end of this system, which in many ways is such a good thing. I just believe there would have been a much better and less painful way to go about it. I mean, proper education and blah, blah, blah would have worked. But of course, I'm not a psychopath who wants to depopulate the world. So I guess I think a little differently to these people. But, you know, it's a good thing the petrodollar is going to collapse. It's a good thing this system is going to collapse. What's going to be important is what comes through the other side. And that's where you come in. And whatever comes through the other side, it's not going to be anything like this. I mean, sure, they'll probably get their smart grid and all that sort of stuff. But it'll be like the Hunger Games. They'll have their ridiculously controlled society, and then there'll be people who live outside that society. Maybe in enclaves, maybe not. But, you know, if you get all your friends together, people who are awake, and say, hey, what's a good plan? What can we do? Where's a good place to stash food? Who knows a spot where there's a cave, where there's water? We could go there now. We could go and pool our resources. We buy, put in, you know, a few hundred dollars each. We'll go and buy lots of cans of food, lots of this, lots of that. We'll buy fishing tackle. We'll buy stuff to make traps. We'll buy rope. We'll buy things we're going to need to make shelters and lean-tos, maybe some tools. And we'll buy books on bush tucker and all of this sort of stuff. And we'll go and we'll stash it somewhere. Somewhere that's safe, somewhere where we might survive. You go into the jungle, you'll find mango trees and all sorts of stuff growing wild in the jungle. Watch out for the stinging trees if you're in Australia. There's a really big, beautiful, shady-looking tree, which is called a stinging tree, and it will kill you if you get stung badly by it. Australia, there's so much poison shit in Australia, folks. I mean, the bush is wonderful, but just half of it wants to kill you is the problem. You're poisonous spiders and snakes and even a fucking tree. That if you touch it, it stings you. And it's a beautiful looking tree. As soon as you see it, you want to touch it. But no, it's a stinging tree. So look out for that. You've got to look up. If you're going to go and live in the bush, definitely look up what you should and should not touch. You can buy books on Australian bushcraft, and you can buy books on bushcraft pretty much for any country that you happen to be in. And you can buy books on edible food for whatever country you happen to be in, wild food, roots, berries, leaves, grasses, all sorts of stuff. So do it. I mean, it's kind of exciting, folks. It's kind of exciting. Look at it as a big adventure. We all hate this fucking system anyway. We all want it out of this system. Well, doesn't look like we're going to get given much of a choice on that. So you got to look on the bright side with all this sort of stuff. Yeah, I guess it's easy for me because I've lived a transient lifestyle. It's like my whole life has prepared me for this. Now my life on the road in bands, and I came from a broken home and blah, blah, blah. And I lived in a storm drain when I was 17, lived in sand dunes, lived in a forest. I traveled around on tour for like 7.5 years straight, never lived anywhere. Different bands. I'd be home, I'd get back to my parents' place after on tour, and I go, well, I suppose I'll find somewhere to live. And within 1 or 2 days, the phone would ring and say, hey, we got another tour for you. So I'd be off again. In 7.5 years, with those 1 or 2 days that I spent at home, in 7.5 years, I probably spent maybe 3 and a half weeks at home, if you added all those days up together. The rest of it, I was just on tour the whole time. So I'm kind of used to this transient lifestyle. I never really lived anywhere for longer than about 6 months, 7 months, 3 months. I'd move in somewhere. I'd live there long enough to plant a veggie garden and grow it, and it'd be just ready to harvest, and then I'd end up moving out. And there'd be a beautiful garden there for the people who moved in after me. It's happened so many times. And when I moved into that place that I was in Australia, the last place I was in when I had the peacocks there, and they were wild birds. A lot of people ask me, what happened to the peacocks? Well, they were just wild birds. They lived in the forest, but they just kind of liked the vibe. So they came and hung around. And I got friendly with them. I'd feed them a few sunflower seeds when they were there. And then they'd come and show me their new babies and all sorts of stuff. And so I ended up naming them all because they were all just hanging around. There was 10 of them there at one stage. And then there was the chickens and blah, blah, blah. And the two old dogs, they weren't my dogs. They both died after I left. One of them died a few days or a week after I left. And the other one died maybe a year later as well. But they weren't my dogs. They belonged to the landlord. They used to follow me around in the yard because I was there. So they used to hang out with me all the time. But they weren't my dogs and they weren't my peacocks. It was just creatures I'm sharing space with. Like these two little dogs. These aren't my dogs. They just kind of adopted me. Hey, Nacho. Hey, Nacho, what you doing? Hello, Nacho and Sol, what are you doing? What are you doing to you guys, hey? What are you doing? You're just so cute, aren't you? You're just so beautiful. You're so sweet. But yeah, they're not my animals, they're not my dogs. Animals just kind of like me, you know? It's like the cat that I had when I was in Bonneville, the grey cat that someone poisoned. I was very upset when someone poisoned that cat while I was in Croatia. But I never wanted the cat. It was just a cat that was being neglected and it just adopted me. So suddenly I had a cat. And these little guys, I mean, they're not my dogs. They belong to Jeff. They belong to Jeff's daughter, actually. They belong to the property. But they've just kind of adopted me because she's not here. And they're chihuahuas. They like to belong. There's actually ancient myths about chihuahuas. They're remarkable little dogs. Like, when I was in Australia, I always looked at chihuahuas as like, oh, these little lap dogs. They're not even real dogs, little yappy little things, you know. I didn't particularly like them. You know, I want a dog that's a dog, you know. My favourite dog was always a border collie. Wonderful dogs. My sister's favourite dog is a Kelpie. And she'll probably even say, oh, yeah, chihuahuas, yappy little things, you know. But now I've got to know these guys. I got to know Jeff's other dog, Bruce Lee, and I got to know his little beautiful little dog, Lucy, while she was alive. And now this one, Nacha, and a little Sol as well. And these are remarkable dogs. I think I might have told you once before, there was a Mexican lady who told me chihuahuas are not dogs. They are human-friendly gremlins that have supernatural powers and can ward off evil spirits, which I thought was interesting. But they're actually very ancient little animals, and they come from a Toltec tradition that was recently discovered. Check this out.
Long before they were purse dogs, chihuahuas were guardians of the spirit world. Their story begins over 1,000 years ago with the Tichichi, a small silent dog cherished by the ancient Toltec civilization of Mexico. When the Aztecs rose to power, they believed these dogs held mystical energy. It was said a chihuahua could see the future, heal the sick, and most importantly, guide their human soul safely through the afterlife. Unlike most breeds, they were not bred to hunt or herd. They were bred for sacred companionship. Their only job was to be near you. It wasn't until the mid-1800s that travelers rediscovered them in the Mexican state of Chihuahua, reintroducing this ancient legacy to the world. Tiny in size, ancient in spirit, truly one of a kind.
Interesting little story, eh? And I would believe that. Because these two little guys are just amazing. Can you see them down here? Here they are. Trying to get them in shot. They're just, they're so cute. Yes, you are. Did the truck scare you, did it? Never mind. But yeah, chihuahuas. So animals just, they just like me. And these guys are incredible. Chihuahuas are amazing little dogs. And I think that's why they've adopted me. Like all out of all the dogs in the household, like she said in that little dialogue there, the only purpose of chihuahuas, what they were bred for, was to be close to you. That's their only role, is to be close to you, to be your company, to be your friend, to stand by you in life and in the afterlife, to lead you through the afterlife, which is interesting. And they really act like that. That's why when Jeff's daughter left and went to Mexico City and couldn't take the dogs with her, they started to fret. And that's why when I first moved into Jeff's place, like last Christmas, just before Christmas, I went to Jeff's place when he wasn't there. There was just me and a couple of staff members, and there were three chihuahuas. And this little one, Nacha, just adopted me straight away. And because that's their purpose, is to bond with someone. And apparently they only ever really bond with one person. So I'm very honored that she has chosen to bond with me, because she was probably already pretty bonded to Jeff's daughter Naomi as well. But apparently she was really starting to stress. And that's why they were brought up here, because they'd actually bonded with me down in Acapulco. And when we moved up here, and I came up here to stay at Jeff's ranch, Jeff's wife, Kenna, said that we should bring the chihuahuas up because they were fretting, they were stressing. So I brought them up. They were so happy to see me. They're such wonderful little dogs, and they just stick to me. They're always around. Wherever I go, they just follow me. Well, Nacha does. And Sol, the little white one, he just loves Nacha. He absolutely loves Nacha to death. So he just goes wherever Nacha goes. And Nacha always follows me around. She's always within 20 or 30 feet of me. She'll go off and check stuff out, but if I move away, she just comes with me, and I never, hardly ever have to call her. Sometimes I do, but yeah. But anyway, I'm kind of getting off topic. But interesting times ahead, folks, and don't be in stress of stuff. Remember the word magic. I touched on that before, but didn't really go where I wanted to go with it. But they feed you stuff to make you think a certain way. It's like with what they say about Russia invading Ukraine, but then Israel crossed into Lebanon. Oh no, we didn't invade, we just crossed in there. What do you mean you crossed in there? Yeah, we just crossed in there, and now we're setting up permanent military bases in southern Lebanon, but it's not an invasion. We're just crossing in and creating a buffer zone. In other words, we're annexing that part of Lebanon so that we control it as a buffer zone. But then, of course, we're going to find that we're too close to Lebanon, because we're going to have people in there at our military bases in our buffer zone, and you're going to find that Hezbollah will probably attack them. So we're probably going to have to create a buffer zone for that buffer zone. And we'll just keep creating buffer zones until we reach Turkey. And then we'll have to create a buffer zone for Turkey, because they might start attacking us. Israel. Like I said, anybody who supports Israel is a psychopath. Anybody who supports Israel is an enemy of mankind. Any politician who supports Israel, any media personality who supports Israel, anyone who is not giving you an unbiased version of the news that is pushing the Israeli agenda, is an enemy of mankind. It's as simple as that. And it's all the one fucking thing, folks. Honestly, this whole Epstein thing, it's all of them. Iran isn't your friend. But again, you can look at how the Iranian people feel justified in supporting their government in what they're doing, because you look at the abomination that is the West through the Epstein files and all this sort of stuff, all released deliberately. See, people have to be pushed into this. All the bullshit that's been fed to the West. Oh, here's a picture of a woman who had her face beaten, half her face was beaten off because she refused to wear a hijab. Bullshit. There's no Sharia law in Iran. See, they feed you all this sort of stuff, and it's all complete and utter crap. But they feed it to you anyway, and that's the West's vision of Iran. So all the Western people in America and England, and most people on exit, yeah, we need to go and get them. Tommy Robinson, you know, yeah, and go kill all the Islamists. Look what they do to women. They're tormenting women, so we need to go and blow them all up and completely blow up their civilization and destroy everything and all their bridges and their power structure and starve them all to death, because the Iranian regime is making them wear hijabs. So they're better off if we bring them to funerals in little bags of mints like they do in Palestine. Fucking sick, folks, you know. And then, of course, because they're doing that, Well, then the Iranian people go, well, yeah, the West is truly fucking evil. Look how much they're attacking civilian infrastructure. And all the Western people are letting their governments do this. So, yeah, we should just kill all the Western people. And Israel just sits back there rubbing their hands in glee while everybody kills each other. And, yeah, and I really would like to get some reliable information out of Israel. If you're someone who lives in Israel and you're watching this, if you're a Palestinian or you're an Arab or you're visiting or whatever you are, if you're in Israel and you're watching this, can you contact me? Send me a message on my email. Go to my website, go to the contact page, and if you hover over the click here to send email, you'll see my address come up at the bottom. It's a Proton mail account. Send me a message and let's hook up on WhatsApp or on Zoom or whatever, and you give me a live stream of Tel Aviv, of what's going on, what it looks like, what's happening. And anyone in Iran who can do that, anyone in Bahrain who can do that, anyone in Dubai who can do that. All of these areas of interest where we're being told all this stuff is happening, if anybody can send me a contact, we'll hook up a live stream. We'll hook up on WhatsApp or whatever, or even on Telegram. I could live stream the whole conversation on Telegram with any of you. If people want to get involved in this, let's find out what the fuck is really going on here. Because the only thing that we can actually say for sure is the supply chain is shutting down and America is being destroyed. I'd like to think Israel is being destroyed too, because I just don't fucking like Israel. And I said on the last report that I think that's one of the things that's going to come out of this. And I hope I'm right, but I've got to ask the question, where's all the bombs coming from that are hitting Lebanon and all this other stuff? I mean, how is Israel still able to do what it's able to do if it's really being bombed to the extent that we're told that it is? So, who's this? Casper. Hey, Casper. This is Casper. This is Casper. He's another one. He's a Chihuahua, but he's a bit taller and skinnier than the other ones. The two that hang with me are a little bit better fed. They get a little spoiled. But anyway, yeah, if there's anybody out there in any of those places, let's hook up. Let's do a live stream. Show me what's going on. Show me the terrain. If there's laws in place in your country and you're not allowed to show me what's going on, well, cover your face and we'll do it in some secure way, and I won't reveal your personality. It won't be you posting the video, it'll be me, and let's see what we can work out with this. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. This has gone on way longer than I thought it was going to. And I will look forward to speaking to you again soon. I'll bring you another report probably next weekend, probably Saturday or Sunday, because I'm going to be away for 3 days. There's some stuff I have to go and do. So I'm going to do that, and then I will be back on Friday. I might even get a video out on Friday night. Who knows? Depends on what's happened in the world. If not, it will be on Saturday or Sunday next week. Thank you to all the people, same thank yous, kind emails, interview requests. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution. Thank you to the people who make kind comments. Thanks in advance to anybody from any of those countries I mentioned, any of these hotspots that does contact me and wants to do a live stream. I don't care. I don't have any stake in the outcome. I don't care whether you're showing me destroyed buildings or whether you're showing me that there's nothing going on. I just want to know what's going on. I think everybody wants to know what's actually going on. Because like I said, all we seem to be getting for definite out of this is the destruction of Gaza, the destruction of Lebanon, the destruction of fuel bunkers and fuel stations in the Middle East, and the destruction of the world supply chain. Maybe destruction of Iran as well. We've seen a lot of stuff being blown up there. But yeah, I'd like some more information. So yeah, let's see what we can do. But anyway, thank you for joining me on this report today, folks. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Do give some thought to what I was saying about going camping with your kids and stuff like this and getting these supplies and just getting ready to go bush if you need to. These are good skills to have anyway, and it's fun. So why not? But anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. Please take very good care. Until next time, in Lakesh.
There are serious conflicts of interest within the Trump family. The Jew, Jared Kushner, is Trump's son-in-law. He's a volunteer with the Trump administration. He holds no official position and has not undergone congressional review. He has no diplomatic qualifications. The U.S. Senate reviews and approves individuals for senior appointments. Furthermore, Kushner has no security clearance either, which he would likely fail due to his lobbying activities and associations with foreign governments. And wanted criminals, like the International Criminal Court, wanted Benjamin Netanyahu. There are serious conflicts of interest within the Trump family. Jared Kushner is a volunteer. Kushner holds approximately $6 billion in assets from Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar, the same governments he has negotiated with on Middle East peace issues. He runs Affinity Partners and manages a multi-billion dollar investment fund backed in part by Gulf sovereign wealth funds. This raises serious questions about the overlap between U.S. foreign policy and his private financial interests. In short, he functions as a super lobbyist, earning income from management fees. At the very least, he appears subject to the Foreign Agents Registration Act, FARA, a 1938 U.S. law that requires individuals acting as agents of foreign principals, governments, political parties, or entities to register with the Department of Justice, DOJ, and disclose their activities. Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump have invested in drone companies that are now competing for Pentagon contracts related to the war their father initiated. Forbes estimated that Eric and Don Jr. were worth approximately $40 million and $50 million, respectively, before the 2024 election. About a year later, Eric's wealth had reportedly increased to $400 million, while Donald Trump Jr.'s net worth was estimated at around $300 million. In a nutshell, they are using war and diplomacy to enrich themselves, to say nothing of the yet unidentified individuals in Trump's inner circle and periphery who are engaging in insider trading on the president's announcements, whether they involve tariffs, oil prices, defense industries, or other key policy matters. We see their fingerprints in the markets, so where is the Department of Justice in investigating these matters? The answer appears to be absent. If you or I jaywalk, the full force of the law comes down on us. Yet if we commit high-level political crimes to influence policy or enrich ourselves, it seems to be no problem. The system is corrupt, the law is being misused, and we all see it, yet nothing is done. It is time something is done. The miscreants should be stripped of their ill-gotten gains and sent to jail. If you agree with me, post this video. You will have done your small part to end this injustice by making the invisible visible. To do nothing is consent.